Welcome to Quick News. This is Ted. The news was published on Monday, January 6th. Today, we're discussing a revolutionary biofuel project converting trees into jet fuel using laser fingerprints. Let's dig into the key details of this news article. Eric, can you start us off with an overview?
Sure, Ted. Scientists are using a technology called laser-induced breakdown spectroscopy, or SLIBS, to turn trees into biocarbon fuel efficiently. This technique is really promising because it might help reduce our reliance on diesel and gasoline. I mean, just think about it. Turning trees into jet fuel with lasers, how cool is that?
Well, Eric, while it sounds fantastic, the practicality of scaling such technology is questionable. Can LIBS really be a game changer in the fight against climate change? You know, there's a big difference between a flashy concept and something that actually works on a large scale.
What exactly does LIBS involve, and how does it differ from traditional methods?
LIBS is all about speed and efficiency. It lets researchers analyze over 100 samples a day with minimal prep work, unlike traditional methods that are slow and tedious. It's kind of like using a turbocharged engine instead of a horse-drawn carriage. Makes a huge difference in productivity.
But hold on, Eric. The focus here isn't just about the speed of analysis. It's about the overall ecological impact. Are we considering the risks of deforestation or other unintended consequences? I mean, faster isn't always better if it leads to a greater ecological disaster.
Eric, can the use of trees as a biofuel source actually help in managing carbon storage?
Absolutely. Trees can be a sustainable source of biofuel when used properly. The research aims to optimize plant growth for this purpose while also evaluating their capacity to store carbon. It's like hitting two birds with one stone. You get fuel and help fight climate change at the same time.
I totally disagree. This could lead to monocultures and a loss of biodiversity. Are we really sure that the environmental costs are worth the supposed benefits? We've seen how these big promises can sometimes lead to big problems.
Let's talk about the practicality. Is this technology already being tested in the field?
Yes, tests have been performed on plants like switchgrass and poplar. The results show high precision in analyzing nutrients, even under real-world conditions. It's like testing a car on the road instead of just in the lab. You get a much clearer picture of how it performs.
Eric, field tests on a small scale don't automatically guarantee success on a global scale. Plus, considering the broader impacts, should resources be spread thin across many applications instead of focusing on one primary goal?
How about the broader applications? Is there a risk of diverting resources?
The technology has versatile uses beyond just bioenergy. For instance, it can be used in forensic evidence collection, which shows its potential without necessarily draining resources from its primary aim. Think of it like a Swiss Army knife. It has multiple functions, but all serve useful purposes depending on the situation.
Ted, the diversification sounds optimistic, but risky. Can it distract from the main goal of sustainable energy production? The balance here is really tricky. If we're not careful, we might end up spreading ourselves too thin.
Let's look at a similar historical event to draw some lessons. Kate, can you highlight a past innovation that mirrors this situation?
Think about the ethanol boom in the early 2000s. It was promised as a cleaner alternative, but it led to increased corn prices and environmental concerns. What can we learn from that, Eric? History has a funny way of showing us where we might trip up again.
The ethanol case highlights market manipulation, which is a bit different from what we're dealing with here. The versatility of LIBS technology mitigates such risks. It's not just about fuel. It's also about forensic evidence and ecological studies.
Sure, Eric, but we also saw heavy subsidies and deforestation in some regions. How do we ensure that doesn't repeat itself? It's all well and good to have new tech, but we need to learn from past mistakes to avoid making them.
What measures can be taken to prevent the pitfalls seen with the ethanol boom?
Regulation and sustainable practices are key. By integrating bioenergy crops into existing landscapes and avoiding deforestation, we can steer clear of past issues. It's like setting up guardrails on a highway. You need them to keep things on track.
Eric, policies might sound great on paper. In practice, regulation is often murky and enforcement lax. Can you guarantee adherence globally? Governments aren't always as proactive as
we'd like. What technological and scientific safeguards could be implemented to enhance sustainable practices?
Enhanced monitoring through sensors and AI can ensure adherence. Transparency in supply chains and rigorous impact assessments will also help. Think of it like having a GPS system. It keeps you on the right path and lets you know where you stand at any given moment.
The tech sounds promising, Eric, but governments also need to commit. Easier said than done. Realistically, are governments worldwide that proactive? We need more than just...
Lastly, how does public perception play into this?
Public support is crucial. Educating the masses about the benefits and environmental safeguards will help shift opinions positively. It's like getting everyone on the same page and singing the same tune makes a big difference in acceptance.
Education is important, but skeptical communities may resist. Can't ignore the socio-political dynamics at play here. People don't always trust new technologies, especially if they think there's a hidden...
Let's look
catch.
Forward now. Eric, describe one possible future if this technology is widely adopted.
If widely adopted, this will revolutionize the biofuel industry, reduce carbon footprints, and provide sustainable energy. This could lead to significant reductions in global warming. It's like turning a big ship around. Takes time, but the change in direction is massive.
Conversely, if adopted recklessly, it could cause environmental damage, stress on ecosystems, and socioeconomic disruptions. What's your take on that, Eric? It's not all sunshine.
What are the socioeconomic implications if we proceed with large-scale adoption?
The job market could see a shift towards green technologies, creating new job opportunities in bioenergy sectors and technological innovations. It's like opening a whole new world of possibilities for employment.
Alternatively, the transition might displace workers from traditional fuel industries, causing economic instability. Do we have a plan for that? Moving too fast can leave a lot of people in the
lurch. What about technological hurdles? Can we anticipate and overcome them?
Technological advancements are rapid. Ongoing research and collaboration can help overcome any hurdles in the mass adoption of LIBS. It's like building a bridge as we walk on it, challenging but doable. With
Eric,
the right teamwork.
The transition speed might outpace regulatory framework adaptations. How do we prevent loopholes? Things can fall through the cracks if we're not careful.
Lastly, what ethical considerations should we keep in mind?
Ensuring fair access to technology and protecting biodiversity should be our priorities. Policies should promote ethical usage. It's about doing the right thing, even when it isn't easy.
Agreed, Eric. Without ethical considerations, we risk exacerbating inequalities and environmental degradation. Can we strike the right balance? If we don't, we'll be doing more harm.
Well, that was an engaging discussion. Thanks, Eric and Kate, for your insightful perspectives. This is Ted at Quick News, signing off. Until next time, stay informed and take care.